I was very disappointed about our profession as architect because we are mostly working for privileged people, rich people, big corporations, government, developers. They have money and power, which is invisible, so that they ask architects to visualize their power and money by building monumental architecture. I was disappointed that we are only working, mainly working for privileged people, not for general public. I was thinking, what can I do using my experience and the knowledge? How can I use them for the more general public, even the people who lost houses by natural disaster? And also I knew that they are no longer natural disaster. They are becoming man-made disaster. For example, earthquake doesn't kill people by itself, but the collapse of the building kills people. That is the responsibility of architects.
Let me take you back to when the tsunami hit Japan. Did you immediately think, I can help?
From my experience working in different disaster area, I knew immediately what we need immediately. The first thing is improving the situation of evacuation facilities. People have to move into the gymnasium. That's why I sought immediately to provide the partition systems to give the privacy between families in evacuation facility.
I've seen photographs of it, huge gymnasiums, and in previous disasters, people would simply have been on the floor with with no privacy, trying to sleep, and everyone would be around them, able to see them. What you were able to create was little squares of home, if you like. Tell me about that.
I found out what they need and also what authority can accept. The point of view of the authority is different. Unfortunately, when I made partitions, sometimes they said it's become more difficult to watch them, to control them. So I had to find out some appropriate solution which is appropriate for the evacuees, but also the, some condition authority can accept. 1,800 unit was accepted, over 50 facilities.
And what do you need to fill a gymnasium with these partitions? What, when you phone up and say, here's what I need, what
first
is it?
First of all, this has to be very easy to assemble, inexpensive. This has to be even built by evacuees by themselves, and also should be recyclable. That is why I made a frame out of the paper tube, made of recycled paper. Screens was made of just cotton.
As an architect, I mean, this is a fascinating thing you do. You get to see firsthand that your ideas are doing good almost instantly, which must be quite something.
Yes, but visiting many disaster area, experiencing different situation, so that it's not so difficult to adapt. Because even making a building, normal building, always we have to try to make the building appropriate for the climate, lifestyle, and also even the economical standard.
And I want to ask you particularly about the cathedral in Christchurch in just a moment. But as an architect, and is there some small part of you, despite all this good you're doing and the good that you can see you're doing, none of these structures are ever really permanent, are they? They have quite a short shelf life compared to other structures.
The definition of what is permanent and what is temporary is very different from what you think. Even the building made in concrete can be destroyed by earthquake very easily. So even the building in concrete can be very temporary if the building is in order to make money. Like the paper church I built in Kobe in 1995, it was meant to stay there for a few years, but actually it stayed there 11 years because people loved it. This was rebuilt as a permanent church in Taiwan. It still exists. So even the building made in paper can be permanent as long as people love it.
What is it about paper you love so much?
It's available anywhere in the world. Even when I was working in Rwanda for the refugees, I found out the paper tube manufacturer in Kigali, that's the capital of the Rwanda, it's strong enough.
Tell me about the plans for the cathedral in Christchurch, which obviously suffered so much in February of 2011.
They had the most important cathedral in the center of the city. It's totally damaged, so they decide they gave up to repair the original church. Then instead, they asked me to design the temporary cathedral. It's called temporary, but they are going to use over 10 years. everybody in the city is now is very depressed. All the area is closed for people evacuated. So we are hoping to start something new. It can be very encouraging for the people. Something is coming. It's not only for the ceremony, but also the Anglican Church is going to use this space for the public use.
Building among the rubble, you're right, no doubt will have a very positive effect. Can you give us some idea of what it'll be made of and what it might look like?
It's called A-frame. It's like a profile of A. In order to use almost permanently, this paper chip structure is covered by clear polycarbonate in order to bring natural light into the space inside.
What do you think of the work you do? It seems to me that there is a very humanitarian theme running through much of the work we've talked about. It directly affects people's lives. It brings some small and sometimes great comfort to people who've lost everything through your work as an architect, your eye for design, your way with materials. You have a material impact on people's lives, and I just wonder how you reflect on that. You speak very modestly about what you do, but I wonder what you think about what you do.
Because the architects are too busy working for privilege, they are not there. But I thought that even the temporary housing, if architects involved in designing, we can improve much better. So that's why I started working in disaster area. But now I feel that there is no difference making the monumental building or making the temporary the structure. My interest is making people happy by moving into my space, whether that is very expensive structure or inexpensive temporary structure. It's no difference for me.